Welcome to another broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Not to waste any time, because we don't have a lot before communion, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in to my message this morning. I want to present a simple message to you, and it's actually, you can consider this a continuation from last week if you were here. If you weren't, you can catch that online. Last week we spoke of thirsting for living water. The living water of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look this morning at another work of the Holy Spirit. I think this message will be both challenging and inspiring to those of us who are followers of Christ. Some of this will be a recap from last week, and then you'll see the ending will be a little different. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn or tap to Luke 24, starting at verse 46. Last week I spoke of how these followers had been with Jesus day in, day out, for several years. They saw firsthand what ministry in His name should look like. They experienced total provision for every need they had along the way. Their time under His care was incredible. But it came to a shocking end when this one who they called Messiah was not only arrested and taken from them, but He was executed on a cross. They were not prepared to face their mission without Him. Thankfully, as we will celebrate next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday was on the way. After Jesus had risen again and appeared to His disciples, reassuring them of all that had just been fulfilled, He then reminded them of something that remained on the forefront of His mind. It was His last instruction for them, and let's take a look. Luke 24, starting in verse 46. And He said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of His name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." What is the message? There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Jesus understood, as we looked at last week, the encompassing protection that He provided for these disciples, for these followers while He was here. And He also understood that it was even better that He should go so that the other one, like Him, but yet different, could come and come alongside of us and live in us. So let's jump to Acts now, where Luke continues his account. He again records those last words of the Lord there in the first chapter. Let's start at verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, "Lord," remember this is after Jesus had risen again and reappeared to them, And so they're asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They thought for sure this was the time. He had risen. He was with us again. We had to be without him for 3 days, but he's back. Surely now's the time. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. His last instructions. Chapter 2 tells us of the incredible beginning that we looked at last week. The incredible beginning of what Jesus had promised his disciples. You shall receive power. Jesus received from the Father the promised gift of the Holy Spirit to pour upon his people. Immediately, we see a complete change in those receiving this gift. Stepping through that locked door where they had been hiding, these believers who were now empowered by the infilling of the Holy Spirit began speaking boldly to all who had gathered. Here's an example of Peter's message to them, starting with verse 14, in chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And Peter quotes the scripture from Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So I have a question for you. Are we in the last days? Now, I'm not asking you this in order for you to evaluate all of the events going on in the world to try to determine whether these signs prove that we're in the last days or anything like that. I'm asking you, based upon this scripture in Acts chapter 2, if you look at what he quoted out of Joel, he starts with, in the last days. And what he said was, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In other words, what you see happening was what was prophesied. This is being now beginning to be fulfilled. And he states that I will pour my spirit upon all people, your sons and daughters, so on and so forth. And I stopped at verse 18, but if you go to 19, it starts to say, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. Has the Lord arrived? Has he come back? No, we know that. Therefore, the period of time we're looking at is Now, we are in the last days, according to Peter, when he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to quote these scriptures. It began then in Acts chapter 2. It is continuing even now until the Lord returns. You understand, we are in the last days. Now, I did take note of this, that I can honestly consider myself now an old man because I have yet to have a vision, but I have dreamed many dreams that are very peculiar to me. Let's jump down to verse 32 and 33. Peter continues with this great, bold sermon to the people who have gathered. He says, God raised Jesus from the dead. Remember, he is speaking to the very same people who were yelling, crucify him, crucify him, who denied and rejected any such notion of him being the Messiah. And Peter says, God raised this Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. And now let's look at what the results were of this message, starting in verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. He states it, this promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. We have been included in this promised gift, according to Peter. Not only would it be for his generation, it would also be for subsequent generations. It says, all of your children. That's not to mean your children, and then we stop. It's all of your children. It's also all Gentiles, even to the ends of the earth. That is the promise from God. I need to quickly make a correction from last week because I very have a hard time not correcting something if I said something wrong. When I got to this point last week on the story, I said Peter's sermon, the result was 5,000 men had been saved. And actually, at this point, it was 3,000. But I was prophesying of chapter 4 where the numbers reached 5,000. So I just needed to clarify that. And I also needed to clarify it so Phil doesn't get any hate mail about us teaching false doctrine. In chapter 3, we see an account of Peter and John going to the temple to pray. As they started to enter the temple gate, a man who was lame from birth asked them for money. You know this story. They look at him. They say, silver or gold have I none, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man who had been crippled from birth stands up and begins to walk. A miracle took place. Not only one that looked like Jesus, but one that was actually fulfilled through these apostles who are now infilled and empowered with His Holy Spirit. This miracle drew a large crowd because I think the guy got a little excited. And it drew a large crowd. And Peter looks and sees that and takes the opportunity to preach another bold message about Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, we see the religious leaders and the captain of the temple guard enter the scene. And they're not happy about this. Bothered by what has taken place in the temple, they arrest Peter and John and throw them in the prison for the night to deal with them the next day. The next day, they bring Peter and John before the entire council of religious rulers and demand to know by what power and in whose name have they done this. Verse 8 of chapter 4 states, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," and he begins accusing them, the leaders now, of having rejected God's chosen Savior. Verse 13 says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. Not knowing what to do with them, the council commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John respond, 'Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him?' The council releases them, and Peter and John return to the other believers and share with them these threats that they have received from the religious leaders. Their response is, they go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for greater boldness. And the Lord responds. Let's look at that in chapter 4, verse 29. "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." Listen, we need to take notice that these same believers right here had already received an infilling of the Holy Spirit and been empowered by the Holy Spirit. He had already preached two sermons. The numbers have gotten up to 5,000 men, not including women and children. They were experiencing empowerment by God's Spirit. Yet, their prayer, "O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And here's God's response. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the Word of God with boldness. Does this give us a hint into the need, the necessity of God's empowerment for every task to which He calls us? This is our model of the Great Commission. The Lord commands us to go and proclaim His message. He wants us to be light that pierces the darkness. His people who preach the good news to the poor, who set the captives free, who overcome the enemy with the word of our testimony. But we cannot accomplish this without first receiving His power. Look, there are millions of desperately miserable and hopeless people in this world around us right now. They are enslaved to sin and held prisoner by the ruler of this world. They need a Savior. They need a deliverer. They are all around us longing for a different life, and yet we pass by them each and every day with nothing to offer them. We claim to be the children of the Almighty God, and yet we seem powerless. We claim to have the answer to hopelessness, and yet we fall silent. We claim to have received the gift of true life, and yet we refuse to make known the one who gave it. This should not be. Where is our power? Phil and I were discussing this dilemma just the other day. Listen, the lost and hurting world is no longer turning to the church. And that's a sad thing. We have lost our influence because we have lost our power. The world is convinced that we have nothing to offer them because we lack the power and boldness to prove otherwise. This should not be. Our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ have not withdrawn their promise to us. Jesus said, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find what you're seeking. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So let me ask you this question. Have you received power from on high since you believed? If you are unsure, then the answer is no. Scripture makes it clear that when we are filled with power from on high, it leaves no room for doubt. It didn't with the early church, and it won't with us either. But regardless of our answer to that question, we are always in need of more of His power as we face the difficult task ahead. The apostles understood this. The followers, the early church, they understood this. How is it that we have drifted from this truth? Are you asking? Ask Him and keep on asking Him until you receive. Then you'll be empowered to go and proclaim His message with boldness. Listen. God is not mad at us for this. We've got to get past this place of needing to be consoled about God's love for us and about His acceptance of us. Okay? Can we move on? God loves you. He accepts you in the Beloved. His Son died for you. That is not what is in question here. What is in question here is He has a mission. This is His mission. And we are now the body of Christ. And He has commissioned us to fulfill His mission. But He is not asking us to do it alone. He has sent another. He has sent an advocate. He has sent one who comes alongside of us. And He helps us. And He endues us with power. He clothes us with His power in order to fulfill His mission. Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we? Receive His power to do this mission. Because we cannot do it without Him. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. Father, we thank You that Your Son has died on the cross, has laid down His life and shed His blood so that we can be forgiven of our sins. Lord, thank You that You have received and welcomed us back because of Your Son. And we will partake of that act to remember what He has done for us on the cross. But Lord, let us not move on without considering what You have shown to us in Your Scripture. that we have been commissioned to go and proclaim your message, but not in our own power, not in our own strength. You have promised the gift of the one who comes alongside of us, who comes in us, who never leaves us, and who will lead us into all truth, who will clothe us with power, and who will show the world that there is a reason to turn to you. And your promised one will convict them of sin, convict them of righteousness, and convict them of judgment, and convince to them, pierce straight to their heart, that there is hope, and it is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through which we can enter into your presence, but we may not go any other way. Thank you, Father, for loving us. And thank you for the power that you promised us to carry out the mission you've called us.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.